feel as good as you look because you look marvelous. Somebody said that somewhere. You have to be old enough to know that illusion. Father Guido Sarducci. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to be preaching from today. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be preaching from verses 42 to 47. We are the great shrinking Nordstrom family right now. Christiana is back at college. Natalie has moved away from us, but she's still here in Knoxville. So we got Natalie moved yesterday. We're going to be moving. We're moving to right next to Cedar Lane, our Cedar Lane campus. I don't know if you all know that. We bought the house right across the side street from 1015 Cedar Lane, where the other church building is. So we're going to be right there for all of the action and all the exciting things that God's going to do there. And that move is really a faith step on our part, because we just believe that, and how many agree with me, that the best is yet to come. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. We have just came out of a real fun series. I really enjoyed preaching Truth from Ruth. And we're going to be starting a new series starting next week. So I'm going to do a sort of a standalone sermon today, and then between series sermon that I'm going to call, let me put it this way. A lot of people, you know, at 11:30 start making their lunch plans, and so they'll call their buddy and say, "Let's do lunch." And my question is, why do lunch when we can do life? And so the message today is, let's do life. Let's do life. You know, we come here on Sunday mornings to sort of do church, and come here once a week to do the church thing and come together. But what if God was interested in us doing more than church? And why do lunch? Why just have a one-time meeting when God is interested in our whole life? So what I'm going to encourage you today is, let's do life. I didn't move to Knoxville so that we could do church on Sundays. I really came here to live my life with y'all. So I want to say, why don't we do life, huh? Let's do life. And so that's the message. Because in the early church, they didn't just do church on Sundays. They did life. And we're going to look at that in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42, if I can read this small print today. All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They said, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily who were being saved. Let's do life. What were some of the characteristics? And if you've got your notes page with you, there's kind of quite a few notes, so we're going to rip right through some of these today. What were some of the characteristics of this first church in the book of Acts? Number one, they were devoted to teaching. They were devoted to teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. Do you know what fellowship is? I heard a good definition of fellowship many years ago that I really like. Fellowship is simply defined two or more fellows in the same ship. That's what fellowship is. Two or more fellows in the same ship. When you have two or more fellows in the same ship, you can have fellowship. So they devoted themselves to people who had a lot in common, getting together with those folks and having fellowship. They were devoted to, and I'm devoted to this one, eating. They were devoted to eating, amen. They were devoted to eating and to taking the Lord's Supper, yes, amen. They were devoted to that. And they were devoted to prayer. Can I hear as much applause for prayer as I did for eating? All right, thank you very much. Yes, good. Now, what was the result of this kind of church? The result of this kind of church that devoted themselves to all these things is that miracles, signs, and wonders happened. as a result of this, the Bible says that many signs and wonders were performed in that kind of atmosphere. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church where people that are bound can be delivered. Amen? I want to be a part of a church where God can do great things in the lives of people. And so that was the result of that kind of church. And another thing was extravagant generosity. In fact, in the first church, the Bible says that they sold all their goods and put all their stuff together. And when one had a need, they gave to the person that had need. Now, they didn't do that for very long in the early church, but I want to say this about that. Even though we don't sell all of our goods and share it all, we do need to have that same attitude. And that same attitude is that what belongs to me belongs to you. That if somebody in the community has a need, that we'll reach out to that need. We found out yesterday that one of our members had a baby a month early unexpectedly. This was Rebecca Humphrey. And so she had a baby unexpected. We didn't expect it. It was to be a month later from now. And they got caught without any baby clothes, nothing. They got nothing. And so I put a little thing on Facebook, and some of you have already been responding. We need little girl clothes. We need everything. They don't have anything. They have bassinet, crib, anything that we can do. We need to help these folks. That's part of what it means to be the part of the body of Christ, right? That we help people that are in need. So all that to say that if you can help, if you've got any baby clothes or can get any little baby girl clothes, her name's Annalise. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. But they need everything. They don't have anything. And so they're going to be in the hospital for a couple more days. But if you can help us with that, we'll coordinate that with Grandma Penny. I don't know if Penny's here today. She's probably with that baby. Okay, so miracles, signs, and wonders. And the other thing was extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity. Now, we say at Life Church that we do four things. This is not in your notes, but I just want to keep saying this over and over until we kind of get it through our heads. There's a lot we don't do, but these four things that we do. We do weekend services. We do small groups. We do Dream Team, which is our army of volunteers that God's raising up. And we do Discover Life classes, which is our assimilation class to help people know what it means to be a part of Life Church. So we don't try to do everything, but we try to do these four things well: weekend services, small groups, and Dream Team, and Discover Life classes. But of those four things, there's two places where the church primarily gathers, and the first place is the cell, and the cell is the small group. Now, why do we believe so strongly in small groups? Because if a church grows large, the church also needs to grow small. And here's what I mean by that. There's no way that we can know 500 people. There's no way, you know, if the church grows to 500, grows to 1,000, whatever God wants to grow it to, we can't get to know that many people. And so the church needs to be small enough to care, right? We've got to have places where we can care for one another. And so we need small groups that we can do that in. In the early church, they met in houses and in the temple courts for worship services. But they also met in homes where they could be small enough to care. Now, the other place that we meet is the celebration service. Sunday mornings, you know, some people are surprised when they come to our church because we, like, have fun. We believe that church ought to be fun. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And why? Because we celebrate on the first day of the week because this is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. So the first day of the week is when he rose. So we have a celebration service. And so that's what we're doing this morning. We're celebrating. And here's the deal about a party. The bigger the better. Right? Amen. So that's why we want to grow this church, because so we can have more people at the party. We want, you know, Sunday morning, there's a party going on at Life Church on Sunday morning. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, some people say, well, I just prefer to be in just a tiny church. So that's okay, but let me just say this. You might not like heaven. You might not like heaven because the Bible says about heaven that the elders were going around counting, they were taking attendance in heaven, and they finally quit because the Bible says there was too many to count. There was too many to count, and if you've ever been in a great, you know, big gathering of people, you know, go to a UT game, 100,000 people to watch that very average team. Now, you know what I'm saying? Hey, now, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Now, what I'm saying is, if 100,000 will come out to do average, how about coming out and celebrating Jesus that rose from the dead? That's all I'm saying. Don't worry. I'm a fan. We're getting better. Go Vols. All right. So, why do we have small groups? Because we believe that, so this is my small group message. We're getting ready to start our fall small groups coming up, and I want to tell you why they're so important, how we can get involved, etc. Why small groups? Number one, discipleship happens best in the context of small groups. It's just a fact that you grow more in the context when you're with a small group of people that can care for you, and care for one another, and that we can be accountable to, and that can help us grow. Another reason is that we need more life than Sunday morning provides. We need more life. We're a life church. We're a life-giving church. I don't know about you, but I need more life than just Sunday morning provides. Revelation 22, 1 and 2 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." Go to the next slide, if you would. This is a picture of our life church tree. This is the life tree. And you'll notice that there's 12 leaves on that tree. The reason there's 12 leaves is it represents 12 kinds of fruit. The Bible says the tree of life gives off 12 kinds of fruit. Why 12? Because there's 12 months a year, and in January, one fruit comes ripe, and in February, another one, in March, another one, in April, another one. And so all year long, that you are constantly being fed. We want to be a church that's always feeding, and where people are always being fed, and more than that, that we teach you even how to feed yourselves, right? Because some people treat the church like, feed me, but really we need to learn how to become self-feeders as well. So, if we're going to be fed, and by the way, it's interesting, it says 12 kinds of fruit, so not only are you getting fed all the time, but you're getting a balanced diet. So it's not all apples, you get apples and oranges and bananas, and there's 12 kinds of fruit, so there's a balance here at this church, not just that you're constantly being fed. So we need more life than Sunday morning provides, and we can get that in our small groups. What's another reason for small groups? To practice the one another's of the New Testament. Did you know that there are 59 one another's in the New Testament? You don't have time for me to read them all. Be at peace with one another. Mark 9:50. Wash one another's feet. John 13. Love one another. John 13. 34. Love one another. John 13:35. Love one another. John 15:12. Love one another. John 15:7. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. When you come together, eat. Wait for each other. Have equal concern for one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There are all kinds of one another's in the New Testament. Bear with each other. Don't lie to one another. Teach one another. Admonish one another. In small groups, this is where we practice the one another's. Where else can we do all these one another's of scriptures if we're not meeting together with the church in places where we can actually do this with one another? All right. And so then another final reason that we do small groups is to discover and develop new leaders. It's a great place for us to discover where new leaders are emerging in the church is in our small groups. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the way we do small groups at Life Church. We believe in something and practice something called free market small groups. This is not a top-down method of doing small groups. We believe that in this church, you all have creativity, you have gifts, you have ideas that I don't have in order to make groups successful. So, we believe in forming groups around places where people are already grouping. In other words, we're not just saying we're going to create a bunch of meetings so that we can give you another obligation to go to another meeting. But we want you to do things that you already were going to do in the first place or that you wanted to do in the first place. Some of you may have like a supper club that you belong to where you go out with, you know, three or four couples on a Friday night. Why not turn that supper club into a small group? Some of you like to play tennis. What if you made your tennis playing on one night of the week into a small group? Some of you want to learn more about a particular book of the Bible. Why don't you have a small group formed around studying that group, that portion of the Bible? Starbucks, there you go. By the way, I see all kinds of groups that happen at Panera. I mean, I hang out at Panera a lot on Broadway, and Panera, man, it's like Bible studies city. When I'm over there, there's all kinds of groups that are happening over at Panera. Yeah, you could have a coffee group, coffee tasting group. There you go. So what do we call those kind of groups? We call those affinity groups. Those are groups where people just enjoy doing something in common together, and they do it. So this summer, I've been meeting with several couples of the church, and we've been playing tennis. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with discipleship? What does that have to do with growing closer to Jesus? Can I just tell you something? If you're playing doubles in tennis, you learn more about your relationship with your spouse than you do at most any other time. I'm just speaking the truth. It's a wonderful time for discipleship to see where you need to grow, where the rough edges are, what all those kind of things are, and it's something that I need to do. I need to exercise. Need to do all those kinds of things, etc. So those are called affinity groups. But other kinds of groups are Bible study groups, or you can do a video series. There's all kinds of materials out there, small group materials, where you can do Bible studies. And when I say Bible studies, I'm not talking about a teacher that sits around and teaches you for an hour, but they're discussion groups. So you read a passage of Scripture, and you discuss those Scriptures around a table, and usually there's eating involved, which is a beautiful thing. So Bible study groups are affinity groups. Let me give you some examples of free market groups that people have done. There's people that have done fantasy baseball groups, spiritual warfare groups, sign language groups, inductive Bible study groups, acting groups, evangelist groups, running groups, C.S. Lewis writing groups, women in leadership groups, weight training groups, church history groups, Dave Ramsey financial freedom groups, all kinds of things. And you can think of 100 more that I did not just list right there, something that you've wanted to do, wanted to be involved in, wanted to have a group around, but you just didn't think that you could count that as being anything spiritual. But we believe that you can. We think that that groups ought to be three things. Number one, they ought to be relational. In other words, one of the reasons we want you to be in a small group is we want you to connect with other people. You know, it doesn't matter how good the music is or the preaching is or whatever. People don't tend to stay at a church unless they start to find some friends there. We've got to have, people are dying for relationships and places that they can connect and make some friendships. So we want them to be relational. Number two, we want them to be transformational. What does that mean? We mean that in our groups, we want, from the time of our group begins to the end of our group, we want just somewhere along the way, we want people in the group to look a little bit more like Jesus when they come out of that group. That we want our groups to be transformational, that we're moving people. That's our vision at Life Church, to move people far from God toward their highest potential as Christ followers. So wherever we are, we want you to move you a little bit closer to Jesus as a part of that group. And then the third thing is we want those groups to be missional. And by missional, we mean that we want your groups to reach people that are far from God. So it's not just an insider's group, but we want to, is it okay to invite people that are not from our church? Absolutely. We want to invite other people. You know, if you've got an affinity group, you play tennis with some people. There's other people that are far from God that like to play tennis. But maybe you are a group that's all insider. What if your group did something missional and some month you went under the bridge and you partnered with another ministry to work with the homeless in Knoxville? Do something that does something for people far from God. That's what it means to be missional. So to be a legitimate group, I want to mess with your thinking on small groups. And honestly, this has taken me a long time to sort of come to my understanding of what free market cells are all about, or free market groups. You can form, you meet in groups that you don't even know that you meet in, that you could make into free market. So we have ministry teams in the church that could become small groups. You could develop a small group with the fellow children's workers in the church. That means, though, that we do more than just teach on Sunday mornings, but that we care for one another, and that we do some stuff outside of the time here at the church. But there's groups that you're already meeting in that if you'll get creative, this can help you understand and become a part of what free market small groups are all about. Okay, so a group, to be a legitimate group, we don't just play tennis. We've got to do one of three things if we're going to make it a group. We either got to pray, so you could play tennis, and then you could gather beforehand or afterwards and talk to the people in the group and say, hey, what can we pray with you about? You could pray, or you can share a Bible study. You can actually do a Bible study as part of your group, or you can do personal testimony. If you'll do one of those things, if you'll pray, or if you'll do Bible study, or if you'll do personal testimony, then you're making it not just a supper club. You're wanting to get involved. See, what we're wanting to do is get involved in spiritual conversations with people. Okay, so now I want you to begin to think. I want to stretch you a little bit more and say, well, what kind of group I would like to attend? But some of you, I want to challenge you to go further than that, and I want to ask you this question: What kind of group would I want to lead? I'm really fishing this morning for some new leaders, okay? We need some people that will step up and say, you know what, I would like to lead a group on such and such. I could gather a group of people around this particular topic or these things, and we could start a group about it. A group is anywhere usually between 3 and 12 people. You can have a very small group. I do discipleship groups of just 3 people, and I don't want it bigger than 3 because we're doing intensive discipleship where we're being very intentional about moving people from the very beginning of their faith toward becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. And so I want those to be very small. But anywhere between 3 and 12 people, what kind of group could I lead? What would the qualifications be for me if I wanted to lead a small group? Number one, you need to go through the Discover Life class. That's going to help you discover, first of all, who we are, what we're all about, and how to become a member of Life Church. And you're going to find out your spiritual gifts. We do a spiritual gifts inventory in that class where you'll learn about yourself. We even do a personality profile where you get to understand yourself a little bit better, meet some of the leaders at the church. So we think that's important if you're going to lead a small group. Number two, we want you to be a member of Life Church, which is kind of obvious that we just want you to be a part of us if you're going to lead a group from us. And then number three, we want you to attend a one-hour small group training. Not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday night at my house, I want to meet with all the present group leaders and anybody that's interested in leading a group in this fall. If you are interested in that, I want you to come to my house at 7 o'clock, not this Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday, and I'm going to lead a small group in our house, but it's really going to be a training about how to lead a small group. And so we're going to do that a week from Wednesday night, and would love anybody to be a part of that. Okay. So then attend a small group training, and then number four is just recruit people and start a group. It's easy as that. What I'm saying is this is not a top-down kind of thing where I'm going to tell us here's your materials, here's what you've got to do, and I can point you to materials if you're looking for materials, but we're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to ask you to recruit people and start a group. Now, we want you to do things that are moral and legal, but other than that, we don't really eliminate many things that a group could involve around. Okay, how does it work? We do groups on a semester system. You know, our lives are kind of on a semester system. Our kids go to school on a semester system. And so we do a fall semester, a spring semester, and we try to do our groups around times when it's maybe less busy. So we meet, our first semester is going to be from August 31st to November 29th. Now we do that for obvious reasons at the end of November, and in December you're getting into Christmas and all of that, and so our groups take off at those times. Then we start in again toward the end of January. In the beginning of January, as a church, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting, And at the end of that prayer and fasting time, then we start our spring semester of small groups. And then some groups take off for the summer, but if people want to do a summer group, we encourage them to do a small 6-week group in the summer, because summertime people are busy and going all kinds of directions and doing all kinds of things. You might ask me, well, Pastor, what if our group doesn't want to quit meeting? Can we keep meeting? Yes, you can absolutely keep meeting. You can meet as long as you want. We're not trying to control what your group does, but we start these semesters and stop them at particular times for a good reason. One of the reasons we like the stop and start times is it helps the host. Somebody who's hosting a group, it's a little bit of work to have people to come into your home and all those kinds of things, and we want to give them breaks from time to time in there. So we do it like 13 weeks in the fall, 13 weeks in the spring, and 6 weeks in the summer. But if your group wants to keep on grouping, just group on. Groupon, that's a coupon, isn't it? Anyway, so semester systems, and then the next thing, how it works, meet weekly. And the reason we say weekly, people want to, can I have a group once a month? Well, you can, but it's hard to get close to people once a month. So the reason we ask you to meet weekly is so that you've actually got time to connect with the people that are in your small groups. Okay, so next week and the following week, we'll start having lists of groups that you can be a part of if you would like to be a part of a group like that, okay? And then finally, be creative and have fun. Be creative and have fun. Go back, if you would, to that Revelation chapter 22 passage on the screen, if you would, one of the earlier slides. I want to end with this, and I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the church for? We've been alluding to this in the last few weeks, and we've been talking about how people far from God need to be welcome in the church. So we've been asking the church, is the church for us, or is it for people far from God? And I want to maybe take a little bit different take on that this morning. I was praying two nights ago, and I couldn't sleep. I was meditating on this particular passage. And it said this, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life. Now I want to stop there for a moment and just point out that we talk a lot about the tree, but it's not even about the tree. Because preceding the tree is a river. And the river's a bigger deal than the tree. Because if there is no river, there is no tree. And so the river of life feeds the tree. Then the tree feeds the people. But then there's even a bigger deal than the river. The Bible said that this river flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So picture in heaven that God is on the throne. There's a river emanating from God's throne, and that river is producing life. And on either side of the river of life, now, this messes with my brain. It doesn't say, are the trees of life. It said, is the tree of life. On both sides is one tree. I called Yulin about this one. This one was messing with my head. How can you have on both? Why didn't it say the trees of life on either side? Because there's only one tree and so I don't know how this works. I don't know if there's like this big tree and then a river just comes through the trunk. Or Yulin told me about this banyan trees, that one root system and yet it produces many trees. I don't know what all of it means, but I do understand that at the center of the tree of life, Jesus is at the center of it all. So are we a church for lost people, or are we a church for found people? I think the answer is actually different. None of the above. We're a Jesus church. And so our vision is to move people far from God toward their highest potential as Christ followers. But really, our vision is to glorify God by moving people far from God toward their highest potential as Christ followers. The reason that we exist, Life Church, is not just to reach lost people. It's not just to take care of found people. But the reason that we exist is to glorify God. It was never about the tree. It was never about the tree of life. Because right in the middle of the tree of life comes a river. And where is that river coming from? It's coming from the throne of God. So my prayer, Life Church, is that in everything that we do it to the glory of God. We're here for one reason, to glorify God. So in our small groups, as we begin this semester, the reason for it is to glorify God. So if you're here today and you need a touch from God, I wouldn't point you to the tree. I'd point you past the tree to say, there's a river. And I'd point you past the river to say, there's a throne of God. And our job is to point you to God, from whom the river flows and the tree grows and produces fruit, so that we can have life and so that we can be healed. And then I want to say something else about the tree. Tree is not just the church, but you become trees. Psalm says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. But those who have been to the river of life and to the throne of God become like trees. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes? And I just want to invite us in this moment past the tree to the river and to the throne of God from which the river comes. Because Jesus is at the center of everything we're doing. Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified. Be glorified, Lord. The reason we want to move people far from God is because that's what you care about. Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. We want to move them toward their highest potential, but today I just pray, Lord God, that more than the tree, we want the river, and we want you, Lord, more than anything. So today, if you would just like to invite Jesus into your life and say, Pastor, I just really need Jesus at the center of my life today. I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but if you would just raise your hand, I would like to lead us in a prayer this morning and just invite Jesus in. If that's you today, would you raise your hand across the building that I just want Jesus to be at the center of it all? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. The end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. 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 Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just pray right now and we ask God that you would be the center of everything that we're doing. Lord, be the center, God, of our worship services. Be the center of our small groups, Lord, that our worship would center on you. Lord, forgive us, Lord, if we ever make it about the church or we make it about the tree. Lord, today we look past the tree to the river, and we look past the river to the throne of God, the throne of the Lamb. We ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be a Jesus-centered church. We love you, Lord. We believe, Lord God, that you're doing good things here. We're asking, Lord God, that the life that flows from this place would come straight from you. And we love you and we praise you. And today, Lord, for those of us, Lord, who for the first time are giving our lives to you, we confess, Lord, that we need you. We receive you as our Lord and Savior. We ask, Lord God, that you would be the center of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.